in the Montessori classroom and in the Waldorf classroom as well. The teachers are facilitators. They're not micromanaging. They're not telling you moment by moment what's happening. The children lean into that rhythm. They know what's going to happen. They know what their expectations are. They know what they can do.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jim and Jamie back with a special episode. I am actually going to be interviewing Jamie a little more on this because it's a subject that, man, it gets brought up to us all the time and is some of importance to a lot of our families out there, and that's education. You know, what do you do for school? And a lot of you know, we are pretty alternative when it comes to school. A lot of that came from the fact that I didn't do well in school. Normal, traditional education just wasn't a good fit for me. And so I kind of felt the odds for our kids falling into that same issue were pretty high. And luckily, Jamie, when we got together, had already had a vast amount of knowledge and experience in two forms of education that are super important, I think, to learn about. We're going to talk about those today, and that's Montessori and Waldorf. You haven't even said hello yet. You need to say hello. I'm like stealing the show here.
That's not like you at all.
Right? Well,
we can also talk about unschooling and homeschooling.
Yeah, let's talk about
those.
There's a lot
of confusion between
the two.
Isn't unschooling just homeschooling because you're at home? You know, so sometimes I feel like that as well gets
absolutely
confused. And you can do Waldorf homeschooling or Montessori homeschooling.
Yes, these are very good
combos. Further complexities.
And it's safe to say we've used a combo of all of these.
We have.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep,
we absolutely have. And I think to start us off, the biggest commonality between any type of schooling that we've been a part of is that we, all of those methods, homeschooling, unschooling, Waldorf and Montessori, all use that same base philosophy of follow the child.
Such a huge, in all of my years, you know, so going into my 30s until I met you, I didn't know that. I'd never heard follow the child. And I thought, wow, what a simple paradigm shift. Because for me, it was always shut up, sit down, follow the rules and follow me. That was most of my experience as a child, you know, being the ADD kid who couldn't sit still. That's what I remember. Now, the teachers probably have their own side of the story, in all fairness. But I had never heard that follow the child. Talk a little bit about more about that follow the child.
So when a child walks into a space, they have the opportunity, whether I would guess Montessori and Waldorf both, say a child walks into a space, it's not prescribed what they're to do for the day. So the child gets to walk into a space and choose, their rhythm may be prescribed for the day. So for example, they may walk into the room and at a certain time of day, they have morning meeting or morning circle or morning verse. They have something that grounds them for the day. And again, this is both Montessori and Waldorf. But as they move through their day, it's not prescriptive. They can choose, do they want to, in Montessori, they may choose a math work and then a language work and then some creative work. In Waldorf, they may walk in and choose to go play with the dolls, or they may be helping in the kitchen, or they may be doing a creative handwork project. So in both areas, the child is able to choose what they want to explore for the day. And then the teacher helps them develop how deeply they want to go in. In a Montessori environment, a child is in a mixed age room. So for example, first, second, and third graders are together. If a child walks in and is excited to try the third grade math, but they're only a first year, the teacher will help follow them, you know, will sit with them and help them learn and see, are you able to progress past your first grade level into the second and on into the third? Or are we going to sit here and help decide together that maybe you're not ready for that yet? So the child totally, totally guides their learning. In Montessori, it is more math and science based, whereas Waldorf, it is more creative and imaginative play, very language and speech and movement rich. So those are two, I would say, differences between Waldorf and Montessori, is that Waldorf is more rich in language and storytelling and that side and arts, and Montessori is more in science and math. Both follow the child. and can take it wherever they want to take it.
Yeah, but when you say that too, would a child, and I know there's Waldorf high schools in like New York City that are $80,000 a year.
It's insane. But amazing. Wonderful. Well deserved.
But it's just the cost. I'm going, wow, you're paying for that. And people of top influence from what we've read use Waldorf. So I just want to make it clear, a child who goes through Waldorf still can excel in math and science.
We were at that meeting last night
and they were explaining that a certain play and thing actually prepares for the developmental stages for math and science.
Yeah. What I think people don't realize, and even in homeschooling or unschooling, what I don't think's appreciated is things like baking are both science and math. So you have to come up with 2.5 cups of a certain ingredient, 1/3 of a cup of a different ingredient. You have to have all these different measurements and you're measuring them out and you're putting them in a space and, you know, or placing muffin mixture into a pan has to be divided. You can't pour it all into one muffin tin, you know, one muffin container. It has to be divided among these 12 muffin spaces. So that would be some math that you're introducing in earlier childhood. And then the science part, when you combine these ingredients, you know, flour on its own doesn't make a cupcake, but flour plus sugar or whatever, all of the other ingredients do make it. And so you're seeing a scientific reaction between ingredients.
Gotcha.
And so these are all examples, as well as like the handwork that they do in Waldorf for like knitting or I'm trying to think of a term that like a woolly ball, but that doesn't mean anything.
No over woo-woo terms, because you're going to go into them and I'll start.
Like, how do I simplify a woolly ball? Finger knitting, knitting with your fingers. And then like, so that would be in a Waldorf classroom, or woodworking, you know, sanding bricks, climbing trees, all these things really increase the child's dexterity in their fingers and build those muscles with their hands. And then also with their hand-eye coordination. So it builds towards writing skills. It builds towards just further development of the dexterity of their hands. And that's something that is really lacking. We see an increased amount of children nowadays in occupational therapies because they are taken from a toddler, really, and handed a pen or a pencil and expected to write. Or even worse, they're handed a tablet or another electronic device and they are typing, you know, which honestly, working our iPhone or an iPad doesn't require much skill.
Dexterity, yeah.
Yeah, not much strength. No. And so we have a lot of children that can't do things like use scissors or hold a pencil or climb a tree because their hands are not fully developed. So, and then on the other side of this, Montessori does things like uses exaggerated size, like tweezers to pick up little pieces of fabric or bugs, or, you know, they use tweezers and they use other opportunity droppers. So like a medicine dropper, they have other processes that they do to help build that dexterity as well. It's not quite as dense as in the earlier years in Waldorf because Waldorf doesn't introduce things like writing. We do drawing, but there's not writing. There's not letters. There's not concrete numbers until
that's something I definitely want to talk about.
First year.
Yeah. Introduction stuff. I mean, I remember that documentary called The Race to Nowhere about education. And that's something you taught me, right? There's developmentally appropriate things. If you put a 2-year-old on a bicycle, I think there's going to be some major wreckage.
But that's what we're doing every single day.
Exactly, with the education. I said, there's certain things that are developmentally appropriate. And I didn't realize that until I started to see that until I went with the boys, like reading. Let's be example for reading. Mm, so great. Both of our oldest are dyslexic. And for one year we went to public school.
Take one for the teen year.
And it was not for us, just not for us at all. I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Alden was really struggling. He was in third grade.
An FCAT year, which mind you is a pass or fail year. So the entire school year and the teacher's salary and the school's funding is based on this pass or fail year.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and believe it or not, they actually, I think I've told you this weird fact before, they base the number of institutions to build, like prisons to build in the upcoming future based on how many children pass or fail the third grade FCAP. That's insane.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because here's what we were told. We went in, First of all, that's a big year, and a lot of you read my book. They put Alden on the spectrum for autism. I'm proud to say they were wrong. It was stress-related things from prior years that we were able to overcome. Second thing they said to us very clearly was, he is dyslexic, he's not able to read. If he does not improve over the next 3 months, this is what's going to happen. He's going to be held back, put in remedial classes, put in the side, all these awful things, basically saying...
They're not awful if they're needed, but...
I'm going to say they're awful. Okay. You're more diplomatic than me. Just the way that it was put on...
Some children need it, yes.
Some children absolutely need it. But the way that it was like so final, it was, and it was being described to that, it was very, very defeating. And we said, this just isn't for us. So we go to our friends who run a really good Montessori school in Jacksonville Beach. I'll never forget, Nancy said, we went over and told her what was happening. And Nancy said, you know what, guys, for the reading, let's not look at the next 3 months. Let's look out over the next 3 years. And I was like, boom, bingo. Whole different way of educating.
You were super decompressed because all you had known was the public school system. And so it kind of, you were like, hold on, but I'm looking at this child that I know and love to be capable. And I'm having these people tell me, oh, he's not. And he's destined for X, Y, and Z. And I remember you were just so like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it gave me the biggest comfort. And I was like, how much sense in the world does that make? Even for my entrepreneur friends out there, if we looked at the next 3 years instead of just the next 30 days or 3 months or whatever, we'd probably get better results, steer the ship better. And that's what ended up happening with Alden and Leland, because they both were dyslexic. I mean, within those 3 years, they were up to reading a book a week. Mm-hmm. A book a week. And we're not talking small books. We're talking
Harry Potter.
Yeah, full books. And that was a huge lesson for me. And I know there's things out there with the traditional public school system, but I will always believe now in Montessori and Waldorf after what I've seen. And I think there was something interesting too. Our friends that own the Montessori, their children went, they did Montessori their whole life. They didn't take tests, which most people go, oh my gosh, there's no test. But then they finally took
standardized
it. Yeah. But they took the entrance exams into their college and they got some of the highest grades ever.
Oh,
do you remember that?
One went to Florida State and one went to Arizona State.
Yeah,
so they did pretty all right.
They took the entrance exams, had never taken tests before, and basically aced them.
Yeah.
So that was something that it's clear for me on. But what are some other benefits that you've seen now? Because a lot of you know Jamie ran, when I first met her, she was the director of a Waldorf preschool, and it was unbelievable to be a part of. And then she also stepped in and built a charter school, and then she helped, she was principal of a public charter Montessori for a year, and then we're helping build another small Waldorf school in St. Augustine. So we have a lot of experience, at least Jamie does, I glob onto it. But what are some other things besides the education that you're seeing just overall, the overall holistic of the kids that go through it, come out of it?
Yeah. So I think a huge thing, in addition to following the child, and again, we're talking heavy Waldorf and Montessori here, but this, I truly believe this falls into unschooling as well, and some homeschooling. I think sometimes, you know, people take homeschooling super serious when they are like, their child's four and they think, oh, what am I going to do for homeschooling? Well, then relax and drink a cup of coffee and let your kid play. That's what you can homeschool for four-year-olds.
And I do. Can I add something here?
Yeah.
So I know there's something. When people come to us and say, we love, you know, it looks like your kids are doing great. They're happy. They're following where they should probably best go.
Uh-huh.
You know, homeschooling. Jamie and I really believe if you can in your area, put your younger kids in a good Waldorf uh-huh. or Montessori school, uh-huh. I think it's really, really powerful. And if it's a good private one, then you can probably pull them out to do some adventure traveling and unschooling like we've done. But I know people put their pressure on those younger years.
Yeah, just let them play. Yeah. And what I always believe, too, is I'm only going to send my child somewhere if it's better than being at home with me. So, you know, you and I were just looking at pictures of Sammy's very first day at school. And I was like, oh, he was too young to go to school. And you reminded me, you were like, yeah, but he was with Miss Adana. Like,
yeah.
What? And I thought, yeah, you know what? That's like sending him off to like his well Waldorf trained safe environment with friends built in and nutritious snacks, grandma's house. Like, what was I thinking? You know, like, of course I want to give him that opportunity.
I would have at any other time till what you introduced me to. I mean, if you guys came to our house and saw like dinner prep, where Sammy was 4 years old and using knives to cut it, I would have shit my pants if I had seen that, you know, years before. Like, what the, what are you doing? But that's some of the younger things that they're actually...
So that was a point that I was going to make. Yeah. Absolutely. So great segue. So Waldorf Montessori unschooling, I would say that the main goal is always developing the whole child. So in addition to following the child, which is number one, and that was your biggest aha when you first stepped into Waldorf land.
I loved it.
Follow the child, but secondly, teach the whole child. So the child is not just an academic brain that can recite facts. The whole child is a, for example, so let's think of, we started talking about Sammy, using Sammy, the whole child would be, he loves to climb trees. He's interested in bugs. He loves art, but he's very messy. You know what I mean? And so like just knowing these things, he's a builder. He enjoys animals.
Moving.
He has to be moving to learn. He,
he's got his pop's ADD.
You know, and so there's certain things that when you are teaching the whole child, you're going to reach them from different ways, you know? So, good morning, Sammy. How are you? Did you happen to find any lizards this weekend? Or maybe the teacher would incorporate a song in her circle that spoke to, you know, the children are growing cucumbers right now. So there may be a gardening song in their circle. And in the Montessori classroom, the teachers, they may attend even extracurricular activities like a come to a soccer game, or the parent gets to bring in snack. Each child gets to bring in a snack once a month. You know, there's a snack calendar, and there's a historian. There's the child that gets to write the notes every morning. And so such as that. So there are opportunities for the entire child to develop through food prep, through animal husbandry. Both Waldorf and Montessori classrooms have pets. So the kids get to experience caring for something other than themselves, which teaches empathy. These classrooms are mixed age, so both Waldorf and Montessori.
I want to cut in on one thing here, because so many people, when we've done our interviews for 18 summers or saying, you know, what are your biggest concerns about your children? And the answer, how many times does it come back? We want our kids to appreciate what they have. And parents have a big concern out there that kids are going to be self-centered and not really appreciate
what's, or like have that empathy.
Yeah, that empathy. And that's been one of the biggest things I've seen watching, you know, over the decade plus of the kids we've known through this and the families. There is some degree of empathy. There is some degree of service and contribution.
Oh, yeah, that's
of
great.
Looking outside themselves. And I thought that was huge. Even bringing in, you know, a lot of my entrepreneur friends out there, the fact that our kids have been doing mentor-protege since first grade.
Yep.
So this is what I was taught in business, find a great mentor. And I'm lucky, too. These kids are getting the chance to be mentored and to be mentors.
That's great.
So
yes.
That's huge. Maybe you can talk about that.
That is huge. So in the Montessori classroom, they do call them mentors and protégés. You have someone you're learning from and someone you're teaching to. And so in the Montessori classroom, the teachers are, and in the Waldorf classroom as well, the teachers are facilitators. They're not necessarily, they're not micromanaging. They're not telling you, you know, moment by moment what's happening. You basically, you know, the children lean into that rhythm and they know what's going to happen. They know what their expectations are. They know what they can do. And the teacher's there if there's a struggle, if there's a need. But the teacher's mostly observing so that they can get to know the whole child, so they can get to know where they need to go next, what types of things need to occur in the space to better prepare that environment for the children. And the teacher's other role is just to make certain that, you know, things go smoothly. They may be preparing for the next lessons or the next season. In a Waldorf classroom, a teacher might be sewing, you know, repairing items that were broken. What did you say that struck me that I wanted to circle back to?
Mentor protege or just the empathy?
Yeah. Oh, besides,
I appreciate what they have.
Yeah.
Oh, service and contribution.
Service and contribution. Yes. Yeah. So that's another thing that they do. You know, the Montessori classroom is really good at making certain that they are in active service. And again, that mentor protege is a good example of that. And in the Waldorf classroom, it's mixed age. And so they naturally have this caring for the younger ones. The bigger ones have bigger tasks. The younger ones have, you know, a little bit more kind careness and tending given to them. But yeah, I mean, these are all great points. But again, that whole child is super important because as they continue to grow, if you see them as a whole child, then they see themselves as a whole child. And that includes, like, as a spiritual being. Waldorf and Montessori both have a bit of, you know, just being very reverent that they are these.
But it's not really any denomination.
No, definitely not.
It's a very
holistic.
Holistic with a bit of faith based, but it wouldn't be, oh, this is a Jewish school or a Christian school.
No, definitely not. Neither of them.
Yeah.
They both were just, they were completely designed to encourage the whole child. And I will tell you one thing that's interesting that I think people are often surprised with, because parents of differently abled children or neurodifferent children will say, oh, I would love to send my child to a Waldorf Montessori, but they have X, Y, and Z specialty. What's incredible is that Montessori was actually built with these different types, like these differing abilities children. And she, you know, Maria Montessori was able to show, like, in a classroom, because you have this mixed age, because you have mentor protege, because you're following the child, because you're teaching the whole child, and because there's no rush, there is space for children of differing abilities, and they do really well because you can work to their genius, you can work to what they're good at, you can work and really strengthen where they're at. And it's, I mean, it's a freaking incredible environment. Both of those environments, I've seen some very special, near dear to my heart children thrive in those environments.
So good. And that's what I love about, not only can it do something for someone that might seem like a huge setback, but it's helping uncover maybe the one thing that they can go really deep in and thrive in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference between generalizing and specializing. I mean, any of my people that have taught me around business and money say the specialist will make money, the generalist will lose money. And that's something that, and not only that, what I like is the holistic view that you guys are doing. Also do something you actually enjoy, that you're naturally good at.
So and you now can do it again and again and again and again. That's what's super cool.
Yeah, only in normal traditional school does it say you have to be good in all these general
things.
And that's just not real life. We don't get out of school in our early 20s and generalize. It just doesn't happen unless you stay in the university system or something.
Yeah.
You have to specialize more into something.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
And I think, too, using our own family as an example, you know, there was no course on fishing in school.
Yeah.
You know, and Alden is super passionate about.
Or fitness, really. I mean, gym class isn't what level of fitness.
Say, you know, Leland is into muscle development, nutrition, and bodybuilding, and Alden's into fishing. And neither of those things would they have discovered if they weren't free to be who they are or free to explore different ideas. And so I think that's really great. I think it's also worth mentioning, not only are our boys still avid readers, but they're still creative. They'll randomly pick up something artistic to create and so, you know, that right there.
It's built within them now.
It really is, because it was there. It's like one of their core values or their core islands. It was really created and instilled when they were little, when they're naturally that way.
Well, even it was little, but I think they always say school starts to die for a lot of people around fourth, fifth grade. I know it died for me in fifth grade. That was it. And I remember it well, but they're actually being able to go deep into what they seem to have an interest in. They were being the whole individual is being developed, and now we're seeing it come out.
Yeah. Right? Because just think of, like, when you have, if you were to have a garden and it starts out as super plush in every area, but you're only watering a third of it, you know, then only a third of those plants are going to grow and the rest of it is going to be like dead soil. And you don't. So just the idea of these alternative modes of education really tend to all of that.
Yes.
Now, with all this said, I think it's probably important to mention that you can do these things at home if on your own.
Sure, you can bring Waldorf and Montessori home if you choose.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's...
And even if your children go to a Montessori or Waldorf, I've heard this every parent thing we've ever gone to, every community meeting, if you're not helping support them with the stuff we're teaching here during the day, then it's not going to go as far. So that's what I liked about Montessori and Waldorf. Yeah, it multiplies where you keep that community effect and you're kind of in the know and you try to help support those principles at home. How can people support those principles at home?
That's great. What's interesting is someone once asked, does Waldorf or Montessori have homework? And the answer is yes and no. So no, there's no homework given, but the homework is to be in your home. It's to tend to your animals. It's to help your parents cooking. It's to help fold the laundry. It's to have rich storytelling time. It's to, you know, go climb a tree. It's to sort the knives and forks into different drawers. It's to count the handles on the cabinets. You know, it's just all of the real life work, you know.
Practical affairs.
Right. It's the saying, the lighting the candle and saying a blessing before meal. It's all of these practical affairs. And it's really important that you're continuing those things at home, that you're, you know, you're not using an electronic babysitter all the time.
Sure.
Or, and again, everything that you and I teach is really about doing what you can with where you're at. So there's lots of things that happen in a Waldorf and Montessori classroom that if you can't afford it, if you don't have one in your location, if there's some core value principle that conflicts with yours, you can still bring these things home. I know there's tons of Montessori and Waldorf curriculums that you can buy as homeschooling material. So that's part of this homeschooling part.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to, you can homeschool Waldorf and Montessori or Montessori,
sure,
if you're so inclined. You can also homeschool traditional curriculum or like a Catholic curriculum or whatever kind of curriculum you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can homeschool. But what's really cool is when you are schooling from home, you set the rhythm, you follow the child, hopefully, and hopefully you see the days are much shorter, right? Because that's another thing.
Oh, yeah, it's way more. That's one thing we found about homeschooling. Well, your sister was kind of our big experience. Jamie's sister's 18 years younger, and we watched her in high school go to homeschool. She was done 3 months early and went to school for about half the day, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
I was like, gosh, that's pretty entrepreneurial, getting it done better and than the quote-unquote corporate traditional way.
Yeah, and she got to find out sooner what she was interested in and what she liked. And
Taylor Swift blogs with 50,000 followers. It was really interesting to watch that. That was an experiment for us. Right, and that's something that I wanted to bring up on before I forget. A lot of people, not a lot, but half the people right now have gone, this is some woo-woo shit. What, my kid's going to be floating around with pixie dust, and this isn't real life, and it's not that. I know you do. But seriously, and people like me, look, I grew up in North Jersey. There just wasn't Waldorf Montessori where I thought was around. It sounds kind of weird. It sounds kind of woo-woo. It's not. I'll be the first to say that now, because you know how I'm lock, stock, and barrel, and I'm not shy to talk to anyone about it anymore.
Right.
But for the naysayers out there, they're going, oh, this just sounds too fluffy. You know, what do you say to them? Because you've seen just
so much,
scores of students, not only in our own family, but the others, that it absolutely does work. Like, how do you kind of address
that? It does. It's such a safe. What's beautiful is that it's funny and it's fun to say things like, oh, it's like a fairyland. But, you know, honestly, if you could get to your most basic self, like if you could
know thyself.
Like if you could tear apart all the things that you've been told by society of, oh, you have to be faster, smarter, better looking, more popular, you know, tear down all that stuff and think about what would you want it to be. You would want it to be, you would want life to be light and fluffy and supportive and free. And you know what I mean? Like all of the things.
I don't know about fluffy, honestly.
Fluffy.
Like it's,
well,
that's,
I mean,
more of
fluffy,
a,
yeah. Okay. So
that's a Miss Jamie term. I respect it. And that's why I love you. But it's,
but I mean, comfortable. Comfortable might be a better word than fluffy.
Yeah, I think because so I was thinking of our boys, like neither one of them, there's guy, they're guy guys. They're
going
to the
right.
gym, they're in the ocean, they're doing stuff that could get their arm cut off, you know. And
no,
so they're not really
right.
Fluffy.
So free, more, free is a better word.
Yeah,
free is a better word.
Or,
okay. So maybe that was a bad example.
Free spirited.
So I guess when you're little, how amazing is it to introduce the world as it's being introduced to you in a gentler way that's not so harsh? I know you and I both have baggage from life being harsh. You know?
Yeah, true.
And so, but one thing I can tell you is we've got 5 children plus one with my sister, and we've now seen 3 of them go through Waldorf and Montessori and homeschooling and unschooling, and they have turned into incredible humans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they're citizens of the world. They're, you know, producing
not perfect,
value.
Of course,
of course,
we're not saying that,
no,
but they're a hell of a lot better than we were. And they have more direction, more grounding, more confidence, more.
Yeah, you get, I mean, if
wellness, if, just overall, like that's.
Oh my gosh, right? Yeah, true. They are, you know, healthy as well. But I guess when I'm thinking of benefits to the parents, when the parents are like, what the hell? You will have a more grounded and cooperative child if they are able to be in an environment like Waldorf or Montessori versus a chaotic environment like a public school system. Or if they're in a public school system and you just bring these rhythms and consistencies home in the afternoons and evenings, you'll see a more settled, the nervous system calms down when you know what to expect, when there's order. And I don't mean order like your house has to be clean and your pet's well behaved. I don't even, because we're not either. I mean, we're half of each. But when they know what to expect, there's just a calmness that comes. There's a cooperation that comes. There's a common goal that you're all trying to reach. And that's really, it's a better, it forms community. So,
well, community is huge. And that's one thing I learned is, again, all of our entrepreneurs are like, oh, can we go into this community? Oh, you're in the Mastermind Talks community. Oh, you're in GoBundance community, 18 Summers community, right? Mm-hmm. All these mastermind groups and investor groups.
And they all have their own vibe, right?
They all have their own vibe. But this starts to get that intact now. And what we saw with the traditional ed, that community was a lot more splintered. You know, it didn't seem like you were matching core values right from the beginning.
Right.
And also there was a lot of bureaucratic nonsense, and I just won't have that. My kids' education is not, their tender ground of learning is not a battlefield for politics or any of that kind of stuff. I want them to develop themselves individually and support the people around them.
That's great. Yeah, and I guess that is a good point too. If these Waldorf or Montessori principles resonate with you, I would say they probably align with your core values. And then, you know, if they align with your core values and you're sending your children to a space and it aligns with their parents' core values, then you're in a community that is supportive and reflective of your core values, which is really where you should be. And it's where you should have your children,
yeah.
You say.
Yeah,
and then if you choose public education, the same. Then, you know,
some people have a great experience. I did not enjoy public education. You did not. It was, again, for an ADD kid like me, it was hell. It was hell to sit there. Mm-hmm. I was always in trouble. Always. And, you know, you've heard the story. So I was always in trouble, and I didn't want to see that for my kids again, especially since some of them have very similar characteristics.
Would you say that you've become more, have through seeing the children develop some of these skills and some of these learnings, has it also gone upward? You know how so often we're talking about, oh, we're not going to carry into this generation what the last generation did. But like for me, when I entered into the Waldorf world, it also created, because we were creating these spaces for our children, it also created spaces for myself.
Yeah.
It also encouraged me to find rhythms.
It goes into all of our stuff. Our 18 summer stuff is a mixture of, I would say, the Montessori and Waldorf context, all that mm-hmm. stuff you taught us about mm-hmm. rhythms and that. And then the content I brought in from a lot of my entrepreneurial pursuits,
sure. You know,
the personal development, the relationship skills, the financial intelligence. So I think it gave me a booster towards loving education again.
But so isn't that cool that how you choose to educate your children is a way in which you're educating and healing yourself as well?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's great.
It could be. I mean, it's an opportunity too.
I think it's an opportunity. Yeah, and the thing is, I want to see what's best for all kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really cool to see you do that public charter Montessori. Because mm-hmm. that gave the hopes of Montessori. Because if I had the choice, if
well, we did the same thing with the Waldorf.
With the
public
Waldorf.
Charter
That's
Waldorf.
That's true, the public charter and Waldorf. So
it makes it available to everyone.
Not that I'll ever be in charge of anything, because I would never run for any office. But if I was put into office, I would make the decree everything goes Waldorf and Montessori. And people would think I was nuts, but I think it would be a better world. That's how much I believe in it for everyone. Because I just think it is such an advanced way of learning. And when you look up, you know, we don't have time now, but Maria Montessori, I mean, she was a stud.
Yeah.
You know, a doctor in Italy and overcoming all these things. And then yeah. Rudolf Steiner, like, they were some cool people.
Yeah.
And I know there's been some bad things. And again, there's probably some of you listening, oh, it's a cult, it's this. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
I've been around it enough, and I think a lot of you know I stand very much in middle ground on stuff like that. I don't want to be part of anything far right or far left. But I think this has a really good ground for unifying people and teaching in better ways.
Okay, to finish up, can you tell me some of your favorite Waldorf vocabulary words?
Felting. Felting.
Felting, uh-huh. Do you know what felting is?
No, I don't have a clue.
Okay, but do you know what it's a part of?
And it's a hand motion, hand
You're so close. It is hand filament. Handwork is what
handwork.
Yes, handwork. Okay. Felting.
Felting.
It's like using felt to make things, which is wool. Felt is
pentagogical.
Pentagogical is a word you made up.
Oh, what's the one I'm thinking of?
Pedagogical.
Pedagogical.
Or pedagogy, which is just essentially
it's a big word,
like
I don't
a type
know.
Of like yes. the form of education.
So at our home, I like to use words out of the wrong context and definition, and it drives Jamie nuts. So
pedagogical genre. Favorite genre of music.
Chipotle. That's a different one where the boys hate when I say, how do you say it anyway? Chipotle or I can't even say it.
We're in overtime. Yes. All right. 18 Summers Tribe. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Next time we will talk a little bit more about how we actually unschool and homeschool. You know, obviously you guys know we have our own education matrix, but I thought it was important to talk a little bit about our Montessori and Waldorf
just to demystify it a bit.
Yeah, a little bit of that. And it's been really important for our family, so we wanted to share it with you guys. So until our next episode, we will talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.